With apologies to those of you who are devoted Bob Levy fans, Bob Levy is off this Sunday and next Sunday. My name is Kevin Williams. I have the pleasure of sitting in for him. We're spending some time this hour with Assemblyman Greg McGuckin, who serves the 10th District for the last 10 days or so, and hopefully for a lot longer, serving towns like Brick, Manchester, Toms River, and along the water as well. Kathy from Toms River has been patient. Let's reward that patience. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call. I just probably have one question for Mr. McGuckin, and then I'd like to go head on with you about football, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Mr. McGuckin,
as a resident of Toms River, which you know, and my husband will travel the Parkway for 20-something years. We were there. We attended when Governor Corzine back then was booed in Toms River and everything, and with Mr. Itako addressing him. But the point is, how come no other politicians, as back then Mr. Ciesla's office and Mr. Wolf helped out, or by helping the residents of Ocean County or Monmouth County on the toll roads?
Well, I think that's the supposition of your question is incorrect. I think the legislators, in fact, were with us. They were in the room. There was a briefing by the governor with the local elected officials before he went into the Rotaco Center, and I seem to recall those representatives being there, and I seem to recall them voicing their opinion also to the Governor Corzine at the time.
They might have been in the back room, but I remember them sitting in the audience, but I don't say that they weren't in an executive session
with
him.
I was in the audience also in the Rotaco Center, and I did not get up again to speak. I think it was important for the governor to hear, not just from us. I think it was important to hear from the residents, and let's face it, he got an earful that day, and thankfully.
Well, I mean, and then they also did cut the people off after the people did wait over an hour for him or 2 hours to come down here. So, I mean, I thought it was the time of the residents to speak, but I guess after the...
But, Kathy, let's be honest. There wasn't anyone in that audience who was in favor of the tolls being raised. I think the governor at that time left knowing Ocean County was vehemently opposed, but he did it anyway.
Right. Okay, so. Well... Kevin, getting back to you now. Okay?
Listen, I heard you last Sunday, so your credibility is pretty shot right now.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, that's why I'm here. My friends want me to recoup or redeem myself, but I'm still not going to. But that's okay. You heard me. That's why I'm here as a man to a man about sports, okay? First of all, before I start, Bob Levy did verify to me that he was not going on vacation, that it was a working assignment. Do they give you those opportunities, too,
on
cruises?
I've only been here 32 years. I have not gotten that assignment yet.
Okay. So
maybe
they
in my next
assignment to go to the Super Bowl.
Maybe in my next 32 I'll get that assignment.
Okay. All right. Well, getting back to the football, that's what I'm saying. As a person that I am, I'm here, but my friends like Walter think I'm going to redeem myself. I made it a statement on this radio station that the Giants were going to get their butt kicked. And as we all know, that did not happen. But I think enough with the nonsense. The San Francisco 49ers today will end this dream. Like Bob Levy was done with Tim Tebow, and Bob Levy made statements that Tim Tebow, he don't believe will ever see any more playing time as an NFL quarterback. I don't know if Bob Levy understands Tim Tebow. And you know what? Again, it was his rookie year. So, I mean, you got to give him at least faith. And I'm not a Tebow fan, but, you know, sometimes people want some positive in their lifetime. As for the Giants, I don't even understand why people could be Giant fans living in New Jersey. If they call themselves Giants, their home's been here for 20-some or 30 years, and they still call themselves a New York team. When you have
Kathy,
an NFL
Kathy,
team,
let me give you some advice. Please, you probably shouldn't run for public office right now.
Oh, I know. Well, maybe you shouldn't either, but that's okay. Well, unfortunately, sometimes we don't like who we vote for. But getting back to that, I just think that it'll be over for the Giants today, and you might see New England. Well, I don't want to miscount Baltimore out of it.
Who are you a fan of?
I made a statement on the radio, and I believe, Mr. McGuckin, you probably made many statements too at public meetings, right? You know,
a few.
So at least I, as a human being and somebody that could redeem herself, I don't see that the Giants to win today. Maybe it won't be a big enough score, but it'll be 7 to 10 points, and then the Giants could use it.
Let me just ask you this. Who do you root for? Do you have a team?
Yes, I am. I am a San Francisco 49er for about 30, way before Montana. My husband's a Cowboy fan. We won't get into that because of Jerry Jones, I think.
Yeah,
because
he's a loser. Listen, but how you just said you don't see how someone could be a Giant fan. How could someone who lives in Tom's River root for the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, but I know that they're in San Francisco. I know that they're in San Francisco. How could you root for a team, Kevin, that doesn't even acknowledge? Like here, I heard Governor Christie saying that he would like to fight, you know, when the Giants win the Super Bowl, to have the ticker tape parade here. That will never happen.
Of course it won't.
Because they're a New York team. I mean, that's reality, unless you're drinking more Kool-Aid.
Well,
it doesn't happen.
Let me just
say
this.
They're a New York team. Like here, remember the Raiders back then?
Yeah.
They went from Oakland to Los Angeles, right?
Right, yeah.
Then the Colts go from Baltimore to Indianapolis. What is so shameful? I mean, here, we got Trish that films a show at the Shore here, the Jersey Shore. Okay, and they call themselves Jersey Shore people, and they don't even live here.
Let me say this.
First of all, I
define myself as a Giant rooter. Okay, there's a difference between being a fan and a rooter. A fan will be distraught when their team loses. Okay,
right.
I don't really have. I was an old Baltimore Colt fan. That was my team growing up. When they moved to Indianapolis, I was done with them. Okay, so I root for the Giants. But where I disagree with you is I think, sure, in a perfect world, would you like it to be called the New Jersey Giants and the New Jersey Jets? I guess you would. The positive of having the Giants play here is much greater than the negative, the fact that they use the New York attached. That's their corporate office. They're still attached to New York. They play in New Jersey for obvious reasons, including location of the stadium. But the bottom line is this. I believe you said last week they would lose to the Packers 55-7.
Yes,
so
I am not taking
any of your predictions to the bank.
Right.
So,
but you know what? My battery was off. I had a lot. No, Kevin, I have a son that serves in the war, and we just had a very bad, but I still will stick with that predicament. So I can redeem myself today by saying San Fran, my team, okay, will do it.
Do me one favor.
I just root against the Giants,
okay? Do me one favor.
Chip LaBarca was playing them today. My heart would be out there for Chip LaBarca.
All right. Me one favor. If the Giants win today, promise me you'll call next Sunday.
Kevin, I was just going to say that,
okay?
From a person to a person and respect from one human being to the other. And I will apologize to all your Giant fans that are out there that I was wrong and that I will study up more on football before I make a statement on your radio
station. You got it,
and
Kathy.
I promise that. And you have a great day.
You do the same.
And go 49ers.
Okay.
And go whoever goes on the other side. Have a great day, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Listen. Talk radio, my friend. Talk radio. She said she picked the Giants to lose 55-7 last week. I'll give her credit for calling back.
Absolutely.
I'd be in a hole for about the next month, to tell you the truth. 732-237-9626. Pat from Lenoka Harbor has been extremely patient. So, Pat, good morning, and welcome to Bob Levy's Topic A.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
And I'm good.
Women, congratulations on your election.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm going to be a real downer after Kathy with all of her enthusiasm over the 49ers and the Giants. I really wanted to talk about the state of despair, if you will, that Ocean County is in, listening since early this morning with regard to so many different homeless locations and pantry food cuts and unemployment and things of that nature. What I wanted to ask you, Assemblyman, is you had said that you went to law school with Governor Christie. Do you have a law firm presently?
I am a partner in a law firm, yes.
Okay, and you work in that law firm?
Yes, I do.
All right. I assume then that you collect a salary as well?
Yes.
Okay. Being that we have a part-time legislature and the assembly salary is $49,000 a year?
Correct.
I'm asking you, are you going to be taking that $49,000 a year, being that you are a partner in a law firm?
Yes.
And the other health benefits that go along with that?
As far as the salary, yes, I am going to take it, and there are no health benefits included.
Really?
That's correct.
There are no health benefits for the assembly people?
For the new assembly people, when they changed the law last year, there are no health benefits.
The law was changed last year.
That's correct.
Okay. And let me ask you this, then. Are your legislative offices, do you share them with your senator and the two assembly, the people that work in the legislative offices?
Yes, we have a shared joint office up in Brick Township on Route 70.
And what are you allocated for salaries of those people? May I ask how many you have?
it fluctuates. There's some part-time and some full-time. Each legislator is allotted a certain amount of money for their district office. Mm-hmm. By pooling the resources, we have one office to handle all our constituent services. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's done. Instead of having three separate offices, we pool it together. And a number of legislators are doing that nowadays. We think we get a better bang for the buck.
Right. It does say on the internet that members receive $110,000 for staff salaries. I was curious if that's collective or individual. It must be collective. That's high.
It's $110,000 per legislator. So each office gets approximately $300,000 in change.
Wow.
And that covers every employee that's in there. It covers, you know, you get a certain amount of stamps and so forth, but everything else has to be paid out of that, too.
So for each assembly, I assume the Senate must be the same.
Correct.
You're talking it's about $330,000 plus your salary, $400,000.
I don't get the $300,000. These are the employees in the office, the people who deal with the constituent services and address concerns of people and deal with people and so forth day in and day out. And they do a great job. We have a great staff.
I'm very happy with it. Your staff. I was questioning the expenditures that, you know, like I said, the food pantries have been cut. Unemployment, you know, there was a gentleman that called earlier that was suggesting that people want to be on unemployment. I can't imagine that. It just seems as though an annual cost for an assembly person of almost $200,000 a year in these, you know, tight times seems a little bit high to me.
Well, certainly understand your concern, Pat. I can tell you that I don't believe there's been an increase in it for many years, and certainly not going to be any. So, we do more with less, too. For every one of those complaints that you would talk about and for the issues that come about, we have to deal with them with the same amount of staff that we have, and there's more issues today than there was before. And, you know, we like every other form of government and every branch of government, is trying to do more with less, and we have more responsibilities and more duties. And, you know, that's the way the government is today, and that's all we can do is our best at it.
Right. Well, Governor Christie touts the fact that there are less, and I'm just reading these, and you're just telling me there's $300,000 in salaries going out per office. Seems awfully high to me.
It's $100,000, $110,000 per office, unless it's joined together. Mm-hmm. And in our district, we have joined them together.
$49,000 for your part-time salary. How often do you go to Trenton? You're only there 10 days, so I guess it'll change.
So far, it's been about twice a week going to Trenton. Then there's also meetings in the district office, and there's, you know, it looks to me it's going to average about 40 hours a week.
Okay.
All right, Pat?
Yeah, just curious. Well, thank you so much, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right, 732-237-9626. Let me ask you this. It's an interesting time. In Ocean County, and you represent a large portion of Ocean County, it's a staunch Republican county. It has been forever. But you're dealing in Trenton, where I believe the Democrats are in control of both sides. How difficult does that make it, and how important is it for you to be able to extend the olive branch to those on the other side to at least have a good working relationship?
It is a difficult process. You know, I'm used to in Tom's River working with my fellow colleagues on the council and the mayor, all the same political party. But it really comes down to what's good government. Good government is good politics. And I hope that I'll be able to bring the concerns of my district to the majority party and convince them that it's in their best interest to address these concerns, too. It seems to me the way to do that is to find areas where our issues are also theirs. Because unless it directly affects them and their constituents, it's going to be hard to get anything passed on the minority side. And let me tell you, they do control the process for everything from assignments to what time we start the caucus sessions to the setting of the quorum sessions. They run the show. And so in order to get anything done, you're going to need some bipartisan support. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to accomplish that.
There's also the perception, Assemblyman, that what happens in North Jersey rules all of New Jersey. That pretty much once you get past maybe Monmouth County, even though geographically it's a large part of the state, that the influence here does not carry nearly as much as the weight does in counties like Bergen, Morris, and places like that. Is that a perception, or do you think that's a reality?
I think that's absolutely a reality. I think I've observed that on the local level. The various state funding formulas and transportation aid and school aid, etc. It is no doubt heavily weighed in favor of northern New Jersey, larger cities. And with the Democratic majority in place, you know, it's going to be very difficult to turn that ship around. All we can do is incrementally try to do that. And I tell you that I'm going to do my best to see if we can start steering the ship in another direction. And, you know, hopefully maybe next election cycle, you know, maybe we can make some inroads in there and get some other Republicans elected elsewhere in the state. I don't want this to be a partisan issue, but realistically, I don't believe their concerns are the concerns of my residents, and that's what I'm most concerned about.
You know, you have to agree with, and you've been in politics now, as you said, you served in Tom's for about 8.5 years and now in Trenton. I think one of the frustrations of the common man, when I say common man, the non-politician, is we wonder, and I put myself in that, we wonder how there can be an issue in which all Democrats can feel one way and all Republicans can feel the other. Yet if you polled 100 people who didn't have a party affiliation, you'd get a whole bunch of different opinions. It does seem that that does happen quite a bit. And for those of us, the laymen, that is really frustrating.
It's hard to remove myself from this process because I have been, you know, a councilman for 8 years and I'm a Republican and proud of it. But all I can say is that there is a lot of give and take, and there is a feeling of, is there something we can agree upon? And I know some of our callers have called in today talking about, for instance, Senator Daugherty's bill. Like I said, I would vote for that in a heartbeat. The problem is it's never going to get to the floor because the Democrats will never let it. They will never allow their cities to be stripped of hundreds of millions of dollars from their perspective, what they think they're entitled to.
By the way, when you say their cities, I think we're talking about largely North Jersey.
Correct.
In areas that are all very democratically influenced.
Right. Exactly right. So how do we do it then? We could put our head in the sand and scream and yell and say we're only going to do it this way, and we will do our best to do that. But we also have to work with them and try to come up with a formula that can get enough votes to get passed, because if it doesn't pass, nothing's changing. So, you know, it's not going to be an easy sell, and all I can tell you is we're going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, and hopefully the majority of residents in the state of New Jersey are going to finally agree with us and perhaps in some of these districts and make some changes.
If you'd like to talk to Assemblyman McGuckin, he'll be here for a few more minutes at 732-237-9626.